बयान बाजार।
सो शिपत जी, हाउ डू यू डिफाइन सस्टेनेबल फैशन एंड व्हाई डू यू थिंक इट्स वेरी क्रूशियल इन टुडेज वर्ल्ड?
नाइस क्वेश्चन। फॉर मी सस्टेनेबल फैशन इन लाइक अ नटशेल इज बेसिकली मैन्युफैक्चरिंग, क्रिएटिंग, डिजाइनिंग क्लोथ्स दैट बेसिकली मैक्सिमाइज the environment or society benefits and minimize the impact they have on the same. So sustainable fashion for me in a nutshell is that. In detail, it would actually start definitely at the source of how the crop is grown, where the crop is grown, through its entire supply chain and life cycle till the disposal of the garment. That is the true life cycle of how a sustainable fashion garment should be measured. So that is how I would define sustainable fashion. And why is it crucial in today's world? Definitely, as you know, you're in Bangalore, I'm in Mumbai. We here have now of late been having water cuts. I know you have been having water cuts, we have power cuts. So global warming is an issue that everyone is aware of. There's no point on stressing on that. So with these kind of environmental and ecological issues that are coming up, and knowing that textile is, you know, probably the second largest contributor to pollution, it is but natural to switch over or start searching or try to find a sustainable alternative for basically environment protection, right? To reduce the pollution, to conserve resources, to protect natural habitats, biodiversity, and so on. Because these are the things that get affected with our choices in the way we dress and the way we clothe ourselves. And it's not only to do with fashion in terms of apparels, but fashion in terms of home furniture, fashion in terms of accessories. I would say wherever fabric has an application, sustainable fashion definitely now post the pandemic is in people's eyes playing a vital role because of, you know, everyone's aware of their social responsibility now in terms of towards nature, towards their own body, towards their own health, and you know, the climate change mitigation. There are a couple of issues why I feel it's, you know, critical in today's industry.
I like the way you defined sustainable fashion. It's not just the fabric aspect of it or the textile, finished product aspect of it. The way you defined was a complete life cycle from source of the raw material to the what also happens to it post consumption. So that's actually a great way to put it.
Correct.
Now,
No,
since
yeah, sorry.
Yes. So since we are aware that Weaving Vibes is very much involved in sustainable textiles, it's a company about sustainable textiles. You've been doing a lot of work in hemp, in India and globally. So if you could quickly kind of summarize your journey so far in hemp.
My journey, though, it's a very short one. It's only been like 2.5, 3 years that we're in this journey, but it feels like 10 years because of the knowledge we've earned, the experiences we've been through, the kind of markets we've seen, and basically just consumer acceptance in this short span. So my journey started, as you know, as any unaware person was, with, you know, total misconceptions of, oh, hemp and marijuana might be the same thing. Is it the same thing? So I started off at a very naive stage. Then, because as you know, I had a manufacturing background from before, so I just started to research and kind of analyze and understand the manufacturing aspect of, is this fabric viable for me to make in terms of with the setup we have in our country, with the machineries we have available. And then later on, I got on to, okay, how am I going to launch this in the market? How are we going to make this an acceptable fabric? So today, when we started off, definitely the nitty-gritties of how to manufacture was what consumed most of our time. Once we crossed that, now our journey is more on understanding what the consumer wants and then manufacturing a suitable fabric for the market. We don't want and we don't believe in stocking and dumping into the markets and forcing consumers to select from what is available. A big part of sustainable fashion is also maintaining the smallest inventory you can, or no inventory, is having the least amount of wastage. So on those lines, we really believe in our journey right now is towards made to order, is towards understanding what the consumer wants, what is his application, and then going backwards and trying to build a fabric for his end purpose. So, I mean, in our journey right now, manufacturing, we've manufactured a range of GSMs from 90 to 440. We've manufactured a range of weaves from your plain Oxford weave, twill weaves, herringbone weaves, to a range of Dobby weaves. We do a lot of fabric dyeing, yarn dyeing, digital printing, eco printing, value additions such as water repellent fabrics and stain repellent, and so on and so forth. And as I said, it's only 3 years, so we're still experimenting. But this has been our short journey, if I can say, so far in this industry.
So thank you for sharing your journey. Also, to what extent do you believe that customer education and awareness will play a very, very important or pivotal role in driving both the market potential of sustainable fashion is also kind of, increasing the pull in the market?
I mean, that's all that there is, right? Market awareness and consumer awareness and consumer education. Like, I started also, like I just mentioned a few minutes back, right? Like, I myself didn't know the difference between hemp and its counterpart, and then I had to educate myself. Now, because I was interested, I got onto Google. But in terms of the larger population, they are not going to spend that much time in kind of getting into the details of whether it is. You as a brand have to kind of give them that education. You as a brand have to tell them why is it that you're doing this, and why is it that you as a consumer should adopt what we're doing. So having consumer education and awareness is, I think, plays the biggest role, the number one role in a market like this. And the second biggest role is being authentic to that market and supplying genuine products to that market, especially in something like sustainability, where sabko lagta hai sasta hona chahiye lekin mehenga hai. So you're already losing half of the people over there in that education awareness ki mehenga kyu hai aur aapko kyu fir bhi kyu lena chahiye. So I think it's a complete journey. It's not something that I can even put number of years to key, this is when it'll happen. But it's something that we all are working on, governments in India are working on. We have seen CBD and varieties of CBD being accepted under Ayurveda, and Himachal, Uttar Pradesh are now cultivating hemp crops. So as these things keep growing, and global countries are accepting hemp in all its forms, so as this kind of domino effect starts taking place, I don't think we will be far behind in adopting and playing this role. But coming back to education and awareness, I think that's number one. That's something that any brand in the field of sustainable fashion by nature has to do. There's no other way of getting yourself out there.
Right. I also see that you're very active on LinkedIn and you do a lot of this customer awareness or market understanding regarding these kind of products. I've seen a lot of your posts where you've spoken about how large brands that we all know we've grown up looking at are using hemp also in their product range.
Correct. So I think that the game over here of education and awareness will come with the big players. They have those eyes on them daily, monthly, weekly. They have those views. They are the people who, through one video, can reach more number of people than all of us collective will sit here and reach. So today, when an Under Armour, Muji, or Superdry, or Raymond, or CRMs, or anyone gets into the bamboo and hemp sphere, is when the normal public at the grassroots level, I mean, grassroots level, as in I'm saying, even if you go to tier two, tier three cities, everyone knows about linen. They're all aware about
Right.
linen. Go to tier three cities, they want to buy linen for their wedding. That's how much they're aware of not only how valuable the fabric is, how great the fabric is, and you know how prestigious it is. So that's why it's used for the. So here, this is where we need to spread awareness of hemp also, as you know, it has similar qualities, I would say much more sustainable qualities than hemp has. So how is it going to reach these people? How are they going to get to know of these qualities? Is just by education and awareness. And it's when these big brands come in and propagate and, you know, kind of advertise the benefits of the fabric, health benefits of the fabric, not the fabric as it
Right.
is, health benefits of the fabric, not only health benefits to the human being, but to nature. It works both ways. So here we're benefiting both of us. So when that education seeps in, is when the switch will start happening at the consumer level, where they will be voicing out and, you know, getting into what I call slow fashion, rather than choosing fast fashion. And a lot of people confuse slow fashion with, oh, this design is going to be here for, you know, a year on stock. Slow fashion doesn't mean that. Slow fashion will have different kind of styles and designs, but slow fashion means they're using sustainably manufactured, sustainably grown, sustainably sourced materials for their use, for your use.
Right. Also, since we know that Weaving Vibe does, you know, business globally, you're selling textile fabrics to a lot of countries in the world. How do you or how have you seen the market potential for sustainable fashion vary across different regions globally?
Yeah, so again, touching on the previous question, this all comes down to two things. One is education in the consumer, the awareness the consumer has. And second, I would say, is the how well the economy is of the countries, you know, where their citizens. Because see, like I said again, it is important right now. Why I speak on economy is because it is an expensive fabric. Just because of the scarce amount of cultivation of the crop and the high demand, there's skyrocketing prices. Like you and me both know, you know, even if you convert 30% of all the land used to grow cotton in India for just hemp, prices will trickle down. It is just that there is such control or short amount of cultivation is why it's expensive. So hence you have the Scandinavian countries, you have Europe, you have America, you have countries where per capita income growth of individuals is higher, where awareness in those individuals is higher, A, because hemp in all its form has been legalized a few years before. That education, that awareness has been going on since 2012, since 2014, since 2016. That has built, and now those countries or those markets are looking for these fabrics. They don't want us to explain the benefits of the fabrics. They just need and know what they want. In India, we still have a lot of explaining to do. We still have a lot of clearing the fog, clearing the misconceptions behind this. We still have a lot of legality in terms of, you know, imports, or in terms of cultivation, in terms of how, what are the parameters to cultivate in, and so on and so forth. So it's just a matter of time that we work on this. And you know, India will compete globally with all the Scandinavian, with all the European, with all the American countries. But yeah, they are a bigger market today, solely based on their spend power and the awareness behind what sustainable fashion means to them and to their environment.
So then I think it'll be fair to say that geographically there are certain areas which are more mature in terms of having a better awareness about sustainable fashion or maybe being more environmental friendly or pro-environment. Number two, having a higher purchase power. So some of these elements, and once you know someone who's building for sustainable fashion or textiles should then look at these factors in terms of narrowing down on the geographies to begin with today. And then wait for other geographies also to kind of cope up and become a market segment for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, if you have, because exports isn't easy. It's not as easy, I would say, as doing domestic. So India is a big market. The huge amount of, I think every day the amount of sustainable brands grown in-house, as in India, is is through the roof. And I think we might become one of the biggest, not only like manufacturers, but also consumers of this product. You know, it goes back into Ayurveda, like I said, and through our Vedas. You know, it's been a part of us through thousands of years. It just got lost in the middle with cotton and polyester and, you know, a lot of kind of, because at the end of the day, you know, why economics, I say also, because today when you don't have that much money, you just want the cheapest and the best. You don't care what has gone into it. But when you have a lot of money, then you have time to spend. Okay, now let me choose. Now let me figure out that is this actually worth my money? Here we don't get that time. So that's why it's always sasta kya hai aur bikta kya hai. That's what we want to push. So here when brands like us who are coming on to the slow textiles want to create a movement with sustainable fashion, I would say let's do it collectively, because you know it's so small that each one of us can help each other get into markets or get into avenues like that we didn't know. And B, I feel that now is the time, because there's a global movement happening in the same, and we should not be left behind per se, because we have great potential not only in terms of manufacturing, but a lot of skilled labor is here in terms of hand looms and weaving, hand spinning, also in terms of value addition. The kind of eco prints we do, the kind of natural dyes we work on is I think one off in the world. So I think I answered the last takeaway piece right now, but
That's
yeah, but
okay.
I feel, yeah, just to conclude that, yeah, different regions do have different markets based on just those two reasons, awareness and
Right.
financial spend power. Yeah.
Sure. And finally, I have a fun question for you. So let's say if sustainable fashion were to be a superhero, what it would its superpowers be, and what or how would it save the world of fashion from, say, its less friendly counterparts?
Yeah, so if sustainable fashion were a superhero, its superpowers would be at a snap of a finger to turn anyone's garment into a sustainable garment. So you wouldn't
Only.
even know that your, say, semi-cotton polyester fabric just turned into like 100% hemp fabric, or turned into a hemp blend. And you're just walking around looking the same, feeling the same, feeling better, probably. But yeah, that would be my superpower, because that would be easier to change people than to convince them to buy right now. So just be free, and with a snap of a finger, I would like that. That superpower would be cool.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pratik. It was awesome. I'm great that you know, the Yarn Bazaar. I always wanted the Yarn Bazaar to somehow enter sustainability, either selling yarns or doing something or the other. And I see that you're like really, you all are really like working in different avenues in sustainability. Also, like today with the Slow Textile podcast, I know you also feel really strongly about sustainability, but is someone has to start somewhere, and I'm happy you did with this, and I hope it goes into thousands and thousands of episodes in the future.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. See you.